Greetings to each one this morning. And Walter, I'm just going to follow right up on that since you put it right out there. I just want to say to the ladies, good job. To see you finding somewhere to show compassion. And while Walter might not be getting the $10 bills, that's all right. The idea is to make it aware to we're looking for places that we can show compassion, show kindness to others. And that is really the idea of it, is by being aware and looking for it, it's surprising how many times we can find somewhere that we can show kindness, show compassion, show care to others around us that we would miss otherwise, but by just being aware of it. So, and yes, I did think about it at some time. I actually thought about it today and I said, it's a little bit quick yet. I'm going to give you a little more time. But I did think about it some Sunday, be that being part of the service where we're going to get the mics. And I want to hear ways that you have been able to reach out and show compassion to others. But anyhow, we're not going to do that today. So you don't have to get scared at this point. So the sermon today is one of the topics that we try. There's usually a couple of them every year that we try to talk about. And this is one of those topics. I thought I was going to kick this down the road a little bit. I didn't think I was going to share quite this quick on it. And as last week and this week went by, I felt like it was what God was laying on my heart to share. So I don't know if y'all remember. I didn't know it. So if you forgot it, don't feel bad, because I didn't remember that I shared about this. I think it's 4 years ago. It was one of the topics, and as Dale put the four of them out there, and I said, well, I can speak on that. And he goes, well, you talked about it, I think the last time. So, but I'm going to talk about it again. So if you remember it, it's all right. If you forgot, that's all right as well. The topic is the church. And I have down the importance of the church. I want to ask the question this morning, what is the church to you? And is it important to you? Let you think about that a little bit. This, can't remember if it is beginning of this week and the last week, there was a song that played, and that's actually kind of what I think pushed me towards this a little bit. Declan was riding with me. And there was a song that played that actually disappointed me, to be honest with you. It was on the contemporary station, XM, and it was a new song, a new release, and they played it the first time, and I actually didn't care for the song much at all. And of course, you know how it is. When it's new, they play it over and over. And I think it was the second or third time through that they played it. Declan asked me the question. He said, do you like that song? And I said, honestly, no, I don't. and he asked me why I didn't like the song. So I explained to him why I didn't like the song. And I think, I'm not sure what the title of the song is. If it More Room, Room for More was the title of the song. And I went back later and looked at it, and I'm not sure that what the author of the song, the singer of the song, actually intended is what I got out of it. But what I heard a lot, was talking about hypocrites, and there's room for more. There's always room for more. But as I listened to the song and as I explained to him, I said the problem that I had with the song, and like I said, this may not be at all what he was thinking. He could have been totally thinking a different thing when he wrote this song and when he played this song. But as you present this song to a group of people that are listening, and especially to those that are not Christians listening on this station, to me, it felt like you get a lot of the taste that the church is just, all it is hypocrites. It's full of hypocrites. And so it lets a taste in your mouth that if you were even thinking about going to church, you wouldn't want to, because all you find there is hypocrites. And I know we are not perfect as a church, as a even as a body of Christ. We talked about in our Sunday school this morning that we have failures. We're not perfect, but yet we should strive to be perfect. And we should find that as to be able to go to church and not to be able to go there and find other believers, other people, not just hypocrites, but we could find Christ in church. And I think some of that was his, that he was, as I went back into a little bit more yesterday, he was saying that you're always welcome at his church. But anyhow, that's kind of what kind of started me on this, looking into church. And that's why I asked the question to you this morning, what is church to you? And is church important to you? What is church? If you turn with your Bibles to Matthew 16, and we'll start at verse 13. This is the first place in Scripture that church was used, and that Jesus used the word church. And Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples," and let's stop right there for just a little bit. I don't give you a picture of where Caesarea Philippi is and what it is. Caesarea Philippi was at the bottom of Mount Hermon, and it was at the bottom of this mount. There was a river or a spring that gushed forth from there all the time. And so this is where a lot of your different gods were served there, different pagan gods. They believed that these gods, there was a thing with water and their gods. So they believed that in the wintertime, these gods would ride the water back into the Hades or hell, and then they would come back out again in the spring. And so this was a pagan worship area. Very popular for different ones. There was different ones set up there, and even I think there was one later on towards Caesar that was also set up that you could go and worship to the pagan gods here at Caesarea Philippi. To give you a little background of where they're at, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, if we look at that scripture there, if you look at the word, at the name Peter, if you look up what that means, Peter means little rock. It's like a piece of a rock. So there's two different words, two different rock words used here. Where he calls Peter, he's like the piece of a little rock. And then the other rock that he will build his church upon is a massive rock. It's a huge bed of rock. The two different words used here in this scripture. As we look at what Peter said here, and Jesus said, "I will build my church on this," the confession that Peter made that Jesus was the Christ, he is the Savior, it is upon that that he will build his church. So who is the church, or what is the church? If you look up that word church that is used here, that Jesus used, that word is not a building. It's not where we go to worship. But that word means assembly. It is an assembly of people, a gathering of people. If we look in Scripture, Scripture has basically two basic groups considered looked at as a church. One of them is the local church, And if you would look in Hebrews 10, I didn't put that one in my notes, so I'll turn to that one. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through this flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with him with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is one of the places, there's more places in scripture as well, where they were encouraged, told to pull together, to meet together as a church. And if you look at Apostle Paul, Paul planted an estimated of 15 to 20 churches. Rome, Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, and there's quite a few more. But Paul saw the importance of planting these local churches because it made an impact of where they were. I saw somewhere in statistics that one of the greatest impacts on an area is your local church. If you were to go look up Western culture and how we know it today, Western culture, a lot of that was impacted by the local church. Through hospitals, through science, through many different areas. Because of the church's compassion and service, recognizing that everyone was created by God. A church is an assembly, they meet. Did you know since COVID, about one-third of those who formerly attended services no longer attend? It has become to where the virtual church or online church has taken some of that and some of them that were on the edge before, just no longer go to church or attend church, have any interest in church. Now, I'm not saying that virtual or online is bad. It is nice for some that cannot make it to a service to be able to listen. But it shouldn't take the place of church, of meeting together, assembling together. We need interaction. We need to rub shoulders. Differences and working them out brings maturity. I heard somebody describing as I was studying, and I listened to a little clip, and they were talking about the body and how they talked about your knee or your elbow. And, you know, the joint is actually, there's actually friction there between the two, but they agree upon the friction because it creates mobility and enables us to do many things. And they were comparing that to church, that while there are differences, there are some frictions sometimes, and yet by allowing those and working that together, we are able to impact and make a difference. As we look at the with COVID and with online services, and that also brings up the word isolation. Isolation is dangerous, honestly. If you look at nature, at animals, they will look for a prey that is out by itself. When one is by themselves, they have little defense. It's much the same with us as Christians today. We need each other. It's by each other that we are able to go through these hard times. As Walter shared that this morning, and as Sandra was sharing, you know, what would we do without a church body to look out for each other? Sometimes you're the one that's on the receiving end. Sometimes you're on the giving end. That's what the church is all about, to care, to look out. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold is not quickly broken. It is by working together that we have strength. We need each other. As we think how we need each other, if you look at Peter, my mind just went to a couple of the examples in Scripture. Peter was in prison. James had just been killed. And the church was praying for Peter when Peter was brought out of prison. Peter looked that he needed the church. He needed them to stand with him. If you read about Paul when he was in prison and he was feeling down, discouraged, and he wrote to the church, he needed encouragement. He needed someone to stand with him. We need each other to intercede for us. When we choose to stand alone, we're standing in a dangerous place. We need the local church to walk through life with us. Then we have the universal church. This is all Christians combined. And obviously some of these scriptures are not talking about the universal church, like when he says to not to forsake the meeting together, because obviously the universal church has not yet met together. That is coming. And that is the universal church is referred to the bride of Christ. If you look in Ephesians 5, he talks about husbands loving their wives and wives how to respond to their husbands, and then to leave father and mother and to become one flesh. And then right after all that, he mixes this verse in there and he says, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. If we were to do 100% like Ephesians 5 said there, husbands and wives, it'd be a perfect marriage, right? If we look at Jesus, Jesus did his side perfectly. He loves, he treats you and I perfectly. He loves his church. How are you and I? Also in Revelation 19:6-8, it says, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord God, our Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult. Give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. The universal church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus is coming to take that bride. He's preparing the marriage supper. The universal church will meet one day. So what is the purpose of the church? I have three different things. The first one, not in any specific order, but I have the first one as worship and fellowship for edification, to bring glory to God. You know, church isn't all about you. It's not all about me. Honestly, it's not about any of us. It's about bringing glory to God, to bring honor to Him. You know, in Acts chapter 1 and into Acts chapter 2, after Jesus had ascended and they were together, the church was praying, and they were all gathered together, and it was there that the Spirit came upon them. And then in verse 42, they had devoted themselves to prayer and the apostles' teaching again, and they were looking out for each other. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking of bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who would be saved. They spent time together, worshiping, encouraging, and looking out for each other. That's what the church was for. That's what the church is for. Today, it seems like it began back in Hebrews where Paul said, as we see the day approaching, to not neglect the meeting together. As evil increases around us, we need each other more than ever before. We need the church. The second one I have down is service and compassion. The purpose of the church is to show service and compassion to those around us. And I'm not going to spend a long time. I preached a sermon on this 2 weeks ago on compassion. So I'm just going to touch on this one and move on. But if we look in Acts 6, the church was growing. And then with the growth of the church, the widows and orphans were being neglected. And they talked about it. They selected seven to look out to serve in those needs. In James 1:27, it says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained from the world." Part of the purpose of the church is to look out for others, to have compassion. Purpose, to show the kingdom of God through compassion and service. As I was studying, I ran across a story. There's a story of a rescue center. And I'm not sure, it might just be a made up story. I'm not sure, but it actually was, it served a good point. But there was a rescue center that on the edge of the rocks where the ships would come through, and they would, as they would crash, the ships would crash into the rocks, and people would die from this. So they set up a rescue center, a building there they had life-saving equipment, boats. They were able to go and rescue and to look out for those that crashed upon the rocks as the storms came. As time went on, the navigation systems were better and there were less, and they began to use the center for a recreation center. They held parties and so forth in it, and after a while, they needed the room. They sold they got rid of the life-saving equipment in the boats. The story goes on to say that as a storm rolled in, that the ships crashed upon this rocks, and there was nothing they could do. They could stand there and only watch as the people drowned. They had lost focus. The center was still there, but they had lost focus. We as a church need to keep our focus on what we're here for, that we will serve, show compassion. And the last one I have is ministry, spreading the gospel. If you turn to Matthew 28, verse 16, and this is a story of, or this is where Jesus, what we call the Great Commission. Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." We'll stop there for just a second. Found it interesting. I had never noticed this before until I was reading in the commentator, that it was likely that there was maybe close to 500 people here at this time. Always, you know, I read it and looked at the disciples. It's like the disciples went and Jesus had the Great Commission with the disciples there. But it says that Jesus had directed them there. And if you look in, I thought I had it in my notes here. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. Paul talks about it, where there was around 500 people at one point gathered together. And a lot of commentators put this together, that it would have been at this Great Commission. So just a little perspective on that. And it says, "And some doubted. And Jesus came to and said to him, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, it talks about, it mentions here that some doubted, and yet Jesus, when he gave the commission to all, when I read that, I asked myself the question, if we get active in seeking and sharing God, do the doubts weaken? I don't know if they all disappear, if they all, doubts all weaken, but I think as we are active in sharing God, that maybe they will weaken, that they will be less. The purpose to make disciples of all nations, and we can read many examples of this in Scripture if we go reading through Scripture. I jotted down just a couple of them. The Ethiopian, as Philip ran to him and explained the gospel to him. We have the jailer, as the men were thrown in prison, and what could have seemed all had gone wrong. They could have been discouraged, and yet they sang songs, and then the jailer was led to Christ through their belief. And we have many more examples also. I won't go into them this morning. But we can go even out of Scripture, even through time, all the way to here. We have examples ever since that time where people have been faithful. The church has been faithful reaching out, and people have come to Christ. As we looked at just a little bit, as the church was praying, the Spirit didn't come just on the disciples. They were all praying, and in Acts 2, and the Spirit came upon the whole church. And again, Jesus didn't just commission the disciples, but he commissioned the church. Why is this important? Jesus called the church to action. No matter what part we play, whether we're giving, praying, going, whatever part as a church that we are a part of, we are all called to be faithful. And there's all part of it. No matter if we're the one going out or if we're the one here praying, the one supporting, we all have a part to play. It's what God called us to as a church. There is something for all to do. There's a quote that John Piper had written. He said this, "I believe there is one thing that pierces the master's heart with unutterable grief. It is not the world's iniquity, but the church's indifference." There is something for each of us to do. Do we care? Will we do it? So I ask the question to start, is the church important? Absolutely. The church is the bride of Christ. And he is coming back to take that bride to himself. What will you and I do? Will we be faithful? Today, as we go through life, may we be faithful. May we look for those ways and ask God to direct us to those ways that we as a church can be faithful in the community, in the places that he leads us, and that when he comes again, that we'll be looking forward to his return. Calvin, do you have a song, or is it Walter? Walter, okay. 865 in the hymnary, and you can stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. Thank you for your church. Thank you that you have put together a church that we can, that we, as we come together, that works together, that gives us strength to go through the trials that we face in life. We thank you that you have ordained it and that you care about it. And we thank you that as we go through this life, you'll be with us. And as we look forward to your coming that again, one day we will be able to sit at the supper of the Lamb and be with you forever. We look forward to that. God, I just pray that you would be with each one here today. Pray that you would bless them. And as we go from day to day, help us to live out your calling here on this earth that you have put on our lives. So again, we thank you for your blood, that you cleansed us from sin. And again, we just ask that you would go with us and guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.